to have you guys back on too. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. I was thinking about that passage that Brother Pearl just read. Verse 6 says, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. There's a sense, especially in the middle of the night, I don't know what it is about the night. You ever notice that things are always worse? They're always worse. You start thinking about something and your mind's fixed on it. It's hard. It's grieving. It's whatever it is, it's the night. And you think, if the sun would just come up, if I could just see the daylight, it'd be better, I'm sure. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that we're in a dark world. A world that in itself doesn't know our God. And we wait. We wait for the bright morning star, don't we? We wait more than they that watch for the morning. We know something of our hope. And for Him we look. That was good, Brother Carl. Thank you. I want you to take your Bibles and turn them to Proverbs 14. I want you to hold your place right there and turn with me to 1 Corinthians while you hold place in Proverbs. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read something to you. 1 Corinthians 2. I'd like to read verses 9 to 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16, Ed. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Verse 11, just reading that verse 11 again. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Now back in Proverbs 14. I'm going to look at one verse of Scripture today. Verse 10. Proverbs 14:10 says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Now, a marvelous truth is set forth in 1 Corinthians 2, that scripture we just read a moment ago. And Almighty God is pleased to reveal that the heart of the regenerated sinner, the understanding of a regenerated sinner, he possesses an understanding that this world doesn't know. He understands something. Wonderful things. Deep things. Things that cannot be known except God reveals them. He just... things about himself. Things about Almighty God. Things about this world. He knows something about what's going on. Things that are hidden from the wise and the prudent. Wise in themselves. They think they're wise. They think they know something. Things that are revealed unto babes. Things that God reveals to children. Men, women, grown up, but children. It's just simple. That God reveals to them. Things that the Lord Jesus Christ thanked His Father for hiding from the wise and the prudent and for revealing them unto whomsoever He would. How wonderful is the revelation of Almighty God's love to His church. A love that absolutely had no beginning. Every time I think of eternity, none of us can, but we just can't understand something never starting. It's just always been. I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I'm absolutely convinced that there sits here this morning some that Almighty God has called out of darkness and has taught them some things. I pray that I'm one of them. I pray that God's shown mercy to me. I believe He has. I believe He has. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded. And while I'm persuaded, I strive after to make my calling and election sure. I constantly, every time I read something, I hear somebody preach or something concerning the mark of a believer, man, my ears just perk up. I want to hear that. I'm going to listen to that part right there especially. Let me, has God taught me something of that? The things that God has shown concerning His blessed Savior, that He's provided the surety of the sheep that has forever stood as the federal head representative. He who was made flesh as the glorious representative before God Almighty, the one that Almighty God would look to only. You think about that. God Almighty, or since God Almighty, is only going to look to the Son. You know what I want? I want to be found in the Son. Oh, Paul says that I might know Him. That I might be found in Him. That's God's people. They long after Christ, hunger after Christ. They seek Him. Oh, the marvel of Almighty God's revelation to His people. The threefold character of His persons. Father, Son, Spirit. That God Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit would reveal the things of God to His people. Preserving grace. Isn't that a marvelous truth? That God would reveal. These things have got to be taught. They've got to be taught. The things of the Spirit are spiritual. And they cannot be perceived by the flesh. It's just taught, revealed. Job 11:7 says, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" Do you think that a man in himself has the ability to find out God? But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We talk about things here, we search them out in the Scriptures. We prove them, and this is what we do. We look to Scripture to prove Scripture. If you can't be like those at Berea, don't take anything I say at face value. You search it out for yourself. They searched the Scriptures daily to find out if that was so. Well, Marvin said, "Well, what difference does it make if I can't back it up with Scripture? If I can't back up what I'm saying with the Word of God, then don't believe it. If it's not in the Word of God, don't believe it. But if it is in the Word of God, we best believe it. Let God be true. Let every man a liar." Oh, these glorious truths. They may be acknowledged with the mouth and agreed to in the head, but without a heart for it. There's no enjoyment. There's no peace. There's no comfort. But if Almighty God has settled my heart, if He's taught me, as I said last week, this is real. This is real. This is true. And He stopped for just a second. And I know, we just read it a moment ago, "I hath not seen, I ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for His people. But I do know this, though I see through a glass darkly, by the grace of God, I see." And I truly believe that there'll come a time when I'll not breathe anymore in this world. And I'm going to see Him. I'm going to see Him as He is. I believe that. I rest my soul on that. And all of a sudden, things that were foggy, perfectly clear, perfect understanding, perfect sight, perfect hearing. I think of those that have gone before us, some that have been in our midst, and now, based upon a profession of their faith, and I truly believe we've seen some leave and gave a good hope, entered right into the presence of God. This is real. Real. We're here this morning to learn some things, to be taught some things. To a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, his soul has a saving knowledge of Christ. As a true acquaintance with the God of all grace, there's an intimacy that this world doesn't know anything about. 1 Corinthians, we read in 2 verse 14, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, but God's people, they do. They hear." Man by nature, he doesn't seize and hold on. But for those that know Him, they do. These things are foolishness to some, but to those that are being saved, their life, their peace, their joy. This new birth, what a miracle. What a miracle of God's grace. Now, here's what we've learned. I'm going to look at this one verse, and I'm going to take from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these things that are revealed, that are taught. Here's what we know. Proverbs 14:10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. And a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. The new man, that believer, he knows something of himself. He knows something of himself. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. He knows something about the struggles of his soul. The bitterness that he still sees in himself. Paul said, I see in me, there dwells no good thing. To will is with me, I would desire to walk in consistency before God Almighty. I would desire to be able to just sit down and pray consistently. And I never cease to amaze myself how inconsistent I am. Asking the Lord to forgive me for inconsistency, and while I'm asking for forgiveness for inconsistency, I'm wondering. You just read this, Carl. I thought that was so good. Lord, if you would mark iniquity, who could stand? Is God Almighty charged iniquity to his people? I'm doing the same things in my heart. If not outwardly, I'm doing them in my heart that any other person does. And if Almighty God would mark or charge me with it, how could I stand before God? The heart knows his own bitterness. He knows something of the presence of sin, the struggles against his new man. He knows something about the inconsistencies, and it grieves him. I loathe myself. That joke's in there. I loathe myself. Others may hear his words, and they hear what I'm saying right now. So I hear what you're saying, Marvin, but nobody knows the heart of a man but the man. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians. No man knoweth the spirit of a man but the man. Nobody knows what goes on inside. The regenerated sinner is in this world, but he's not of it. But I'll tell you this. Seeing something and knowing something of his own bitterness is a wonderful blessing. Is a wonderful blessing. That's what Paul the Apostle thanked the Lord for. In Romans 7, that last verse in Romans 7, I'll read it to you. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, the new man, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, and he's still thanking God. I thank God with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. I am thankful that God's taught me something of myself. A man that knows his own bitterness, Almighty God is going to take that man and draw that man, cast himself afresh on God Almighty. Here I am admitting. I'll admit my own bitterness. I know. But while I'm admitting my own bitterness, I can readily say, I need Him. I need mercy. I need grace. I need comfort. I need for the Lord to do something for me daily. Lord, just like you took that basin of water and showed in that perfect example, well, you took a basin of water and you were going to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, if I don't wash your walk, Lord, if you don't continually bathe my walk that is collecting the dust that so easily hangs upon me, Lord, if you don't wash me afresh by the precious blood and bring back to my memory that which you've done for me, Lord, how could I walk? Lord, cleanse me afresh this morning. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. We see in that seeing of bitterness, we see something. Our life and our hope and our joy. Listen to Paul, 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope. Yes, I do see something of myself. I do know something about myself. I do grieve over that which I see within myself. But I know this, seeing something of myself and the bitterness of my old soul, my old heart, God's done something for me. Because I know by nature, I wouldn't care. It wouldn't more bother me than a man in the moon. We just sang that song, I think, or I read it yesterday, Gary, something. Years I spent in vanity and pride. I didn't care that the Lord was crucified. I didn't care. Oh, I'm not going to come out and say that outwardly. I don't want anybody to think I'm a heathen. But I didn't care. I just didn't care. But see, the only problem is that God knew but that He would show mercy to me and give me a heart after Christ and show me what I am by nature. That's what He told Peter. Peter said, Lord, everybody else forsake you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. And the Lord told Peter, He said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat. Now here's Peter, a believer. Peter is a believer. Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Here was Peter, a believer, that denied the Lord 3 times. When you're converted, not in the new birth. He was already converted. But when I show you that what I'm saying is so, and you remember it, strengthen the brethren. The third time, the Scripture says, that he denied the Lord. They said, you're one of them. Your speech betrays you. I know something about that. Somebody say to me, you're not from around here, are you? How'd you know? Your speech betrays you. You don't talk like you're from around here. That's what they said to Peter. You were with him. You're one of his disciples. I don't know the man. I don't know. And the Scripture says that third time he betrayed the Lord, denied him. And that rooster crowed that second time. And in one of the accounts, the Scripture says, and the Lord looked at him. He just looked. Can you imagine? The Scripture says Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Lord, show in me something of the bitterness of my soul and revealing to me your mercy and grace and comfort to this sinner saved by your grace. The Scripture sets forth in Luke 2, verse 25, 30. There was an old man named Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. A man that knows something of the bitterness of his heart, that God has shown him the need that he has of Christ Jesus. He's seen God's salvation. The Lord is merciful to those that he reveals their need of Christ. Do you need him? Do you see continually the bitterness of your own heart? That's a wonderful, wonderful. I remember what Brother Scott said one time. He said, a sinner, boy, that is a precious thing. Because there's so few of them. There's so few that you find. I'm not talking about just folks that are just religious. Everybody's religious. You know, everybody's prospering. Everybody's a Christian. I tell you, every sinner that I found that needs Christ, they need Him. They're going to follow Him. They're going to long after Him. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. And knowing his own bitterness, he knows his need of Christ, his hope, his joy. And a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. What does that mean? It just means that a stranger to the glory of God, stranger to the grace of God, a stranger to Christ, he doesn't mix with that believer's joy. That's what it is. It's foolishness unto him. He doesn't share. He doesn't partake of the joy of a child of God. Now, to perceive the heart of a believer's joy, we must understand what I'm talking about when I say joy. Joy. Joy doesn't necessarily mean that I'm necessarily outwardly or inwardly happy. Brother Henry Mahan asked Brother Walter Gruber one time. He said, Walter, are you happy down here in Mexico? He said, happiness doesn't have anything to do with it. He said, I believe this is where God wants me. And he struggled. Walter Gruber, I heard it said one time, he went down to Mexico and died right there. He died. He died to himself. Resolved. Was he a sinner? Absolutely, he's a sinner. Saved by the grace of God. God Almighty gave that man a heart. This is where God wants me to be. And this is where I find my joy. In the midst of struggles and strife, it's joy. Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy, that which makes glad. I thank God that God Almighty would allow me the privilege to be here with you this morning. He left me to myself. There's no telling where I'd be. But I'm here in Katy, West Virginia. Like Brother Carl's talking about. The place where God has been pleased to raise up the gospel. And has allowed the gospel to be preached in this place. And has taught this sinner, saved by the grace of God, something of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His mercy and kindness to me. To reveal to me that Christ has satisfied God's demand for righteousness. At joy. Do we have struggles? Yes, we do. We strive and fret? Yes, we do. But a believer is joyful in his heart. Thankful. He knows something of the struggles, of the bitterness, And he knows that man by nature doesn't understand him. A stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. But he knows who his hope is. And he rests. A believer can say, Psalm 35:9, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord." And it rejoices in salvation. Joy is still not that feeling of emotional outward. Man, there's some folks this morning I know that's hurting. They're hurting. They're struggling. They're struggling. And I know you are. And my heart struggles with you. I know you do. I know you do. But I tell you this, in the midst of your struggles, you know too whom you have believed. And you're persuaded that He's able to keep you, aren't you? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. God's people. They know something of the bitterness of that, this life. In this world, out of it. But they rejoice in Christ. And they rest in Him. And they know that they're kept by the power of God through faith until the day of salvation. And they rejoice in the midst of that bitterness, and they heartily thank the Lord of glory for His mercy and compassion to keep them. Knowing that He's everlastingly loved them. I love this. The Scripture says, "And the Lord loved them to the end." He loved them to the end. Oh, may the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.